The Guardian.
Hello, I'm Catherine Shaw, and before we hear the show, we just wanted to point you in the direction of our sponsor, Squarespace. For more information on building your own beautiful websites, go to squarespace.com. Now on with the show.
Hi and welcome to The Dailies. Henry Barnes here. Joining me to round up today's movie news is Andrew Pulver. Andrew, if you had a pet chimp, what would you call it? And would you make it sign an NDA?
I'd probably call it Mr. Monkey Monkey Face or something.
Mr. Monkey Monkey Face. And would he have to sign a non-disclosure agreement?
Possibly not technically, but I think I know what you're alluding to.
Yeah, I asked this because of Bubbles, the tell-all biopic narrated by Michael Jackson's pet primate, which is swinging its way towards production. The film, based on a hype script by Isaac Adamson, is going to feature stop-motion animation and has been picked up by Dan Harmon's Starburn Industries production house, the same company who made Animalisa. Andrew, is this an interesting way for them to talk about Michael Jackson and the various problems he faced without getting in legal trouble?
I think it's probably the only way they can do it, really. This, as you may or may not have picked out, was the top film on the blacklist a couple of years ago. And presumably it's a great script. I mean, we'd have to, and it, you know, it sounds suitably nuts. I mean, it's Jackson's story from Bubbles' point of view, basically, isn't it? And I think, you could probably, how you would do that live action would be challenging, to say the least. So I think it sounds like they've sort of come up with a really great way of doing it, really.
Were you a fan of Animalisa, and do you think this treatment's going to work?
Yeah, it's great. And will it work? Who's to know? Stop motion's a sort of interesting way of doing things. You know, it's sort of fake yet hyper-real at the same time. So, I always think back to those great Wallace and Gromit films, which just are so weird, but also contain, you know, the greatest chase scene with that sort of engine, you know, the sort of steam train going down the track. It sort of has physical corporeality, as it were, and also obviously a sort of mad fantasy as well. So hopefully we'll get both of them.
And Michael's life wasn't lacking in mad fantasy.
No, I mean, I had to sit through This Is It, you know, the
was that the concert film?
Which I think was possibly released after he died. I can't remember.
Yeah, shortly after.
I think it was in the days when we felt it was vital to be the first that, so I had to go to the 2 o'clock in the morning screening in Leicester Square, which was frankly an horrific experience. You know, I don't react well to staying up late, and on top of that with sort of squads of Jackson fans there, it was just sort of insane.
And finally, on the subject of Bubbles, who would you cast as Bubbles and who would you cast as Michael?
Cheetah as Bubbles? I don't know. Michael, I mean, there's that guy who... if it's voice only, do you remember in The Simpsons when they got Michael Jackson as a guest, and for some reason they weren't allowed to use Michael Jackson recordings of his own song, so they had this Michael Jackson impersonator that came in
singing "Lisa, It's Your Birthday."
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So get him; he'd be perfect.
And from monkey business to business, and this past weekend's US box office news, Divergent sequel Allegiant is fighting a losing battle in its opening week. Shailene Woodley's third Diverge has made only $29.1 million in its opening weekend. Meanwhile, Disney's Zootopia, or Zootropolis, is still squatting at the top of the chart with a cumulative total of $201 million after 3 weeks' work. Andrew, Lionsgate stock is down 4% this week. Why is the market for moody teens fighting nasty adults crashed?
Well, maybe just everybody's sort of getting bored of this sort of thing. I mean, obviously, it had its high point back in the Potter days. I suppose the sort of kidult type novel splitting the thing in half, as you know, obvious exercise and sort of separating people from their money. It's pretty cynical. Twilight again did the same thing. Did Twilight do it first? I think it probably did.
Yeah.
And then Potter sort of followed. And I suppose maybe it's a generational thing as well, that there's a particular generation of sort of teenagers who are into those sort of books, and maybe the new generation is sort of moving away from them. You know, what your parents thought was, well, not parents, but the older generation thought was good, kids always turn against. So maybe people are just, you know, the same kids are sort of getting sick of this sort of thing and realizing they're being exploited, really.
It's interesting. Is it 8 films that they did of Potter? I think it was 8, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but 7 books, isn't it?
So, yeah, 7. And then they did the thing of splitting the last one in between 2 films. But the box office for those films remained fairly strong throughout the series, whereas Divergent's fallen off massively. The Hunger Games fell off as well.
Yeah.
The Hobbit films. It seems like this trick of splitting the last bit into 2 different parts isn't paying back dividends anymore.
Well, I think The Hobbit, I mean, has its fans, and it's sort of obviously a different category of film and book to the other ones. But I mean, splitting the final two, splitting into a trilogy just seemed insane. I mean, it was such a short book in the first place. So, getting people to spread their attention over 3 films and that, I think probably was a bit too tall an ask. Problem for me is I'm personally not a massive fan of the YA genre. Possibly not.
Can't imagine
anger me.
Why not?
Yeah, exactly. But you know, you understand if people are, you know, people are interested. You know, they're interested, and there's certainly a lot of enthusiasm around those films 10 years ago. I suspect, particularly with the Divergent series, I mean, people just seem to be fundamentally unexcited about it, and it's just sort of, you know, the enthusiasm just sort of tailing off. Really, I mean, the stupid titles that they come up with are just identical. I mean, I can't remember. What was the first? So
we got Divergent, Insurgent, Allegiant.
Yeah. Allergic.
Allergic, next coming next year.
I mean, it's just sort of, you know, they're just interchangeable, really, I think. And I said, I just think they're probably wearing out their audience's patience. And also, I think the kid art thing as well, which is quite interesting about it, is it wasn't just kids that it was aimed at teenagers. I mean, the whole point of it was supposed to be older people, of my own generation, who are sort of supposed to be as interested in reading this stuff as the young, you know, it's part of the whole middle youth thing. And again, I think maybe they're just, you know, those sort of people are just sort of woken up, or they got too old for this sort of thing. I don't know. I said I'm not a massive fan.
Now, speaking of selling things to different audiences, it was revealed over the weekend that Sony's hip-hop hit Straight Outta Compton has had 3 different trailers made for it and put on Facebook. One that was targeting the black audience, which talked a lot about NWA. One which was targeting the white audience, which talked a lot about Ice Cube, because they know who he is. And one which talked to the Latin audience, which basically just had Spanish quotes written on the screen. Is this an unusual practice for them to take a film and market it in a different way to different racial groups? And what does that mean?
Well, it seems to be something with this particular story, something very specific to Facebook, where I think people are not allowed to sort of say they belong, or there's no option for them to say they belong to a particular ethnic or racial group. But from reading the sort of business press stories on it, that the advertisers are sort of quite canny about finding what they call affinity groups. So they would say if people joined the African American Chamber of Commerce, that would sort of mean they would be in the African American column. So right, send them.
So they
that
get
trailer.
An NWA trailer.
So,
yeah.
So advertisers could sort of work out who would be interested in what and where you could sort of place them ethnically. I mean, I think in some ways this sort of thing's a bit overpitched. I mean, I think even if you're white, you've got to be pretty thick not to know who NWA were. I mean, I'm not the hippest kid on the block, but, you know, I listened to that album when it came out. I knew perfectly well who they were, you know, back in the 90s. So it's, I think you've got to be some real dense, backwards type person not to understand what NWA means on a trailer. But maybe maybe this is an issue if you're talking about mass audiences in the States and you sort of want to get them into a film in a big way. I suppose is it a new thing? I mean, I don't know. They've been sort of targeted films for a long time. I mean, you only have to think the 70s and black exploitation films were obviously marketed directly at black audiences. Then, interestingly, superhero films, I always think one of their great strengths is they're not exactly pan-racial. They just sort of miss the whole, you know, they just sort of swerve by the whole thing. So, so when you're dealing with these sort of mythic subjects, that's kind of part of what their success is that I mean, obviously people do get interested in is there going to be a black superhero, or who's going to direct it, etc. You know, are the actors in it black? But in the end, the sort of material of it is just kind of nothing to do with the sort of ethnic strife that sort of seems to be a big part of America. So that's part of their secret, I think.
And that's it for today. Ben's on a set visit and Catherine's on holiday, la-di-da. So it'll be me and Andrew again tomorrow. Until then, you can point your excitement at theguardian.com/film, where the usual clutch of indispensable news, reviews and features are vying for your attention. Follow us on Twitter, join our faction on Facebook, subscribe to the dailies on iTunes. We'll leave you with this wisdom from Bubbles the Chimp. Bye.
Bye.
Squarespace. This Guardian podcast is supported by Squarespace. Whether the story behind your passion is out of the ordinary or simply out of this world, you should tell it in an unforgettable way. Squarespace helps you do just that, with the only websites designed to showcase what makes your passion worth pursuing. Start your free trial today at squarespace.com/guardian.
For more great downloads, go to theguardian.com/audio.